left off on it. We left off the other day on the bottom of Hey Amid Alav, going over to Hey Amid Beis. The Gemara is explaining Rabbi Akiva's Hoychoche, that the Pshat in the Pasuk, Ach B'yam Marish and Tashbisu, means Erev Pesach. Why it cannot possibly mean that on Pesach you have to destroy the Chametz? Because number one, Shema Min HaTlash, number one, Rabbi Akiva thinks like this. And that Chof Aleph Min Aleph, there's a machlokes hatanaim whether chametz ala b'streifa or hashbasas b'chol davar. So first of all, Rabbi Akiva thinks it didn't like Rabbi Yehuda that aim chametz ala b'streifa. You had a wepaskin, so that's a machlokes. Most of the rishonim paskin la halacha against Rabbi Yehuda, the hashbasas b'chol davar. Here the Tosfos on Daf Zayin Amud Beis in Pesachim Dibra Maschal Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa. Tosfos Nira Da'alachik Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a klal. Usually we have exceptions to the rule, but we have a klal that usually halachik is Tam Mishnah, and the Tam Mishnah B'Per Basra D'Tmura, the very last Daf and Tmura, the Mishnah lists off all these Suri Hanoah and divides them into two categories, which are Nisrafim, which are Nigbarim, which have to be disposed of, however, throw them in the garbage, Nigbarim, which have to be Nisrafim. So the Mishnah lists off that Chometz is Men HaNisrafim. So the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah's Abud Anasi, edited the Mishnayis in such a way as to lead you to understand that Halacha is like the Stam Mishnah. So that's the minority opinion in the Rishonim, is the Baal of the Ri, Baal HaTosis, thinks that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Shulchan Aruch says lahatchila, the meaning is to be choshish for the shita sari, who passes like a beautiful mikra, didn't really pass in as besasa b'chol. The first is the plus Rabbi Akiva thinks that number two on Yontif there's an Issa Malacha, but it's not exactly the same as on Shabbos. On Yontif there's a heter to do Malacha for the purpose of Chol Nefesh. That's in Psukim and Chumash. And Shabbos is no heter Chol Nefesh. Shabbos is Yom Kippur, there's no heter Chol Nefesh. Even on Yom Kippur, there are people who are supposed to eat. The Cholim and Sukkanim have to eat on Yom Kippur, but still, there's no heter Chol Nefesh to cook food on Yom Kippur. Only on Yontif, so there's a machlokes, Bisham and Bishilo. The way we have a tradition, there was a machlekes b'sham ha'masil, whether you say mitoch shehutra havara hoitzol letzarach hutra nam b'shalol letzarach, as long as it's stam tzarach hayom k'tzas, you're permitted to do malacha. Or do you say no? B'sham I hold is only heter echa nevish. That says no heter to do a malacha, not hoitzol, not havara, not any other malacha. Not allowed to do a malacha for tzarach hayom k'tzas. If the din would have been like Beis Hillel, the way we assume that not only is Meleches Havara, not only are you allowed to make a fire in order to cook food, that literally Echal Nefesh, but you would be allowed to make a fire, you're allowed to make a fire in order to burn the Chometz also, that's called Tzarech Hayom Ktsas. Any mitzvah Hayom is a Tzarech Hayom Ktsas, like I want to carry the Lulav to Shul. I want to carry the machzor to shul to be able to daven. I wanted to carry a baby to shul because I'm going to perform a bris milah on Yom Tov on Shabbos. If there's no erev, you're not allowed to carry the baby because that's called machshirei milah. Only milah bisman is derech Shabbos. Machshirei milah, the achonas that lead up to the bris milah bisman derech Shabbos. That's machlekes. Rav Lezer and the Chachamim in Rav Lezer's city, they always followed his opinion. But come to Rav Lezer, even Yizeh, after he passed away, that's the Gemara, the first half Perek Rav Lezer de Milo, Masech Shabbos, that 24 Prokim, one whole Perek dedicated to the Dinim of Bris Milo, because you have to say, what are the Dinim of Milo Bishab? So that's Perek Rav Lezer de Milo. So the first half, the Mishnah records this Machlegs Rav Lezer and the Chachamim. When you have a Milo Bismano, Dech Shabbos, are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to carry the knife also, or only to do the actual bris milah? So we paskin that only the actual bris milah, but that's a machlokes satanoim. So the let's say it's not Shabbos. Let's say it's Yontif. So Yontif, you're permitted to carry it even if there's no Erev. If there's a Mila Bismano, you're allowed to do the bris on Yontif. And we would say you're permitted to carry the baby or to carry the knife to the shul in order to perform the bris Mila in the shul. Even though it's Machshirei Mila, not the Chashabbos, but it's Tzarech HaYom Ktas, if it's a Mila Bismano. So that's a tzas. You have to carry the knife, you have to carry the baby in order to perform the bris milah. The pasuk, and then not only is melechas echal nefesh muter, as the pasuk says explicitly, even mitoch any, you have to judge each and every melacha individually, each one of the 39 melacha, any melacha that's ever muter, the tzorach echal nefesh would also be muter the tzorach hayam tzas. There are some melachas that you can never imagine that it's going to be muter the tzorach echal nefesh. I don't know what the ma'abed. Let's say you take a piece of hide from an animal and you tan it and you convert it into leather. How can you ever do that? Probably ma'abed would never be mutter l'tzorach hayam k'tas or soser. Bona is a question. Bona is a question. Let's say a person's house falls down. Would he be permitted to build a house on Yom Tov? Is that called tzorach ochel nefesh? Tzorach ochel nefesh means literally eating food, or all tzorachei haguf. So that's also a machlokes bisham and bisilo. Bisilo hold that that's all tzorachei haguf. Let's say you're going to make a fire on Yom Tov, not to cook food, you're going to make a fire to keep warm, because you don't want to catch a cold. So bisilo will say that that's also muta. That's tzorachei haguf also. That's how the Rashba learns pshat. The Rashba and Beitza has two pshatim in the Mishnah. When Beis Hillel permit you to heat up water in order to wash pan of yad v'raglov, or to make a fire in order to keep warm, is that based on Beis Hillel's shita? That's l'shitosim, that since cooking water is mutter, if you want to drink tea, if you want to have a hot drink of coffee, so since bishul is mutter l'tzarech ha'chanemesh, it's mutter l'tzarech ha'yam k'tzas, so to wash pan of yad v'raglov and to keep warm is l'shitasam Beis Hillel del tzorach hayom k'tzas mitoch, or do you say no? Beis Hillel, that's one shita. Oh no, the Rashba likes the other pshat. That's Beis Hillel, that's called tzorach ochel nefesh mamish. That's called tzorach ochel nefesh mamish. That they're really a few heterim on Yom Tov. You're permitted to do malocha l'tzorach ochel nefesh. And we say not only ochel nefesh, to prepare food for eating purposes, to bathe, to keep the body clean, and to keep the body warm, to heat up water to wash pano yada v'raglov, and to make a fire in order to keep warm, not to get sick, it's tzorche haguf. So tzorche haguf is also mutter, according to the Rashba. It's a long Rashba in Beitza, because it's tzorche nefesh mamish, and according to other Mishainim, it's because mitoch. And then the third heter is mitoch. Not only are you allowed to do any malacha that's mutter, tzorche nefesh, mitoch shuhucha, that, but not in general, you're allowed to do any malacha you want at Tzorach Hayam Ktzas. Any, each and every individual malacha you have to judge individually. Any malacha that's muta, the Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, is muta, the Tzorach Hayam Ktzas. So let's say if you have, if you would want to have a picnic in the park, that would be Hoytzah. You would be allowed to carry the food to the park in order to eat it. That would be Hoytzah, the Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, because I want to eat over there. Want to have this seder and someone else says, I'm going to have my shmura matzahs at home, and there's no Erev. So I would be permitted to carry the shmura matzah on Yom Tov 11th. Unless Yom Tov Chaliyas B'Shabbos. But it's Yom Tov Pesach Chaliyas B'chol. So there's a heter, Echel Nefesh, so you're allowed to carry the matzah to eat it to have the seder in a different location. So you would be allowed to carry the lulav to shul, the sheik lulav in the middle of Hallel. You would be allowed to carry a baby to shul in order to perform the bris milah in shul. And you'd be allowed to carry a Sefer Torah or a Sefer to learn from it, or to learn Kriyas HaTorah from it. So if Rabbi Akiva would have held the way we assume that this was the Machlokes Bisham and Bisilo, then the din, of course, would be like Bisilo, that Mitoch would be Mutter, then he wouldn't have any proof. He wouldn't have any proof that Ach B'Yom Rishon goes on Erev Yom Tov. He would say it goes on Yom Tov, and you're permitted to make a fire, and you're permitted to burn the chametz on Yom Tov because it's tzorach hayom k'tzas. But he doesn't. He doesn't believe in mitoch. Ayetz machlekes b'sham b'sil. Apparently, his tradition was there never was such a machlekes. B'sil never disagreed with b'sham. No such din as mitoch. We don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So Gemara says again, shmamina tlas. That shmamina that. Number two, Shmamina, he doesn't believe in the din and bitoich. And Shmamina, the third point that's questionable, where do you see the third point? Shmamina, that he thinks that Havara, there was a machlekes, Rashi quotes, Masechah Shabbos, Dafayim, and Al Machlekes among the Tanaim, among the Zabiesi and Reb Nosson, why does the Chumash sing aloud Havara? There are 39 Malachas on Shabbos. Why is Havara singled out? So one Tanaim is of the opinion that Havara lalav yotzes. We don't accept that opinion, that there's only a lav, there's no chorus, and there's no misa on Havara. So you see that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like that, because if why? If Rabbi Akiva would have thought Havara lalav yotzes, so what would have been different? So Tosfos has two suggestions. One suggestion is because it says Matzina Lahabar Shehiyab Malocha, the expression that he uses, Matzina Lahabar Shehiyab Malocha, sounds like it's in the list of all the 39 Malochas, the same as all the other 38 Malochas. So it sounds like this chorus and this Misa as well. And the other Pshat Tosfos he gives was quite a startling Chiddush. If Rabbi Akiva would have accepted the view that Havara lalav yotzos, then it would not have applied on Yontif. Then the only thing you carry over from Shabbos to Yontif are the 38 malachas, the 39th prohibition of Havara. If you hold lalav yotzos, no chorus and there's no miso, so it's not a malacha. It's like a different Isser. It's like the Isser of Truman. So Truman, many Rishonim hold that big machlokes and the Rishonim, even if you hold that Truman is the Raisa, that's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Happens to be that Truman is the Raisa, Truman alpaimam, a 1 mil. Is the Raisa, so here for the Rishonim say it doesn't apply to Yom Tov, only applies to Shabbos. The only thing you carry, it's a separate pasuk, Al Yetzi Ish Memkoma, B'Yom HaShvi, you're not allowed to go Chutz L'Trum. So that's a separate Isa. The only thing you carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov are the Malachas. If you hold Havara L'Lav Yotzes, Havara would have been Mutter L'Gamri on Yom Tov, so you wouldn't even need Mitoich. All right, so those were the two Pshatim. In Tosfos, how did the Gemara prove the point? Yeah, there's another question. The pasuk says, "Bacharish habakotz tishbois." Why did the Tanaim only work on the pasuk of the Svareish b'chol mashvasechem from the 39 malachas? Havara was singled out. Why? So one Tana said, "Havara lalav yatzas." There are only 38 malachas, and Havara is a separate iser. And the other Tana says, "No, the way we pass Havara lachalak yatzas. No, it's not the lalav yatzas. The 39 malachas. Why didn't they discuss the other pasuk?" Why were Charish and Ketzira singled out? That's a question. So one Tana says it doesn't refer to Shabbos. It refers to Shnas HaShmita. Okay? So then it's not talking about Melech HaShabbos. But according to the other Tanoim, that is referring to Shabbos. So why do you need Lefi Pshuto Shemikra? Why do they need a Pasuk to tell you Charish HaKotze and Maishna from all the other 39 Malachas? They're all together in the same boat. Why were these singled out? So there is an obscure opinion in the early Sfarim, from the days of the early Rishonim, that the Dinah Mechal Shabbos Beferhese Dika Akum. That's a big question. Is that a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan? That the Shach and Yeridei Simon Beis has a machlekes achreinim about that. And last year we were learning Chulin Sandav Hey, the Chidor has a running commentary on the An Yankif. He has two svarim on the An Yankif. So on one of the svarim he quotes that from a Ksav Yad from Bali Atesus, that issue, that din of Mechal Shabbos Befeese, Dinika Ivid Abizar, Shchitos and Nevela, he quotes a machlekes of Rishan, whether that's a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. So some of the Rishonim hold, Rabbi Kivegan Yeridei quotes this in Simon Beis. Simon Beis has all the dinim of Mumma Dina Kakum, Mumma Labadizara is Dina Kakum, Mumma Lachal Shabbos Beferes is Dina Kakum. But if it's not Labadizara and it's not Machal Shabbos Beferes, so he's Dina Kakum, if he's a Mumma Leroyv Dini HaTorah that he's aware of. Let's say Shiloh HaKani never heard of, and Hakrobus Pigon Laisadami doesn't apply Bisman Azeb. So we're talking, is a mumma l'roiv dini hatorah that he's aware of. So one is a mumma ruba kukulaf. He's a mumma l'roiv dini hatorah is dini ka'akum. So that din, that a mumma shushoch ha'chitos ha'nevela, is that a din d'araisa, is that a din d'rabbanan? So some hold the whole din on him at the rabbanan. But others hold no, that it's a real din d'araisa, that a mumma dini ka'akum is a din d'araisa. So some say that it only applies to one who does avodas hakarka. If he, let's say he writes, or he does other malachas. He does the mabashel, he does borer, does other things. He wouldn't be dina kakam, only if he does malachas hakarka. Where in the world did they get that idea from? So that should suggest that maybe they understood it because of the fact that you have the pasuk b'charish habakotz tishbois, that the pasuk singles out avodas hakarka, And the Gemara never explains why was it singled out. So maybe these Rishonim seem to have harsh Tish boys singled out to tell you that that's more serious, Sachidish, that that's more serious than the other 39 Malachas. So those are the Avodas HaKark, like Harita Ktzira, those would be Mumela for the Machal Shabbos before Esedina Kakum. But if he does Ksiva or he keeps his store open on Shabbos or he does other Malachas of Shabbos, he wouldn't say Mumadina Kakum. That would be Kiddush. That would be Kedega quotes it. It's in the base and Yeridei on the bottom of the page. So again, this is Rabbi Akiva's proof that the Pasuk in Chumash that says Ach b'yom rishon tashbis cannot mean that you burn the chametz on Pesach. It must mean b'yom rishon means on erev Pesach. Yeah, and if you would have held hashbasasa b'chol davar, then Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have any proof. Rashi says because one way to destroy the chametz is lahachal klavim. So Rashi says if that would be acceptable, lahachal klavim chen alayam. The Rashi says, then there's no malacha involved. Okay, if you hold the Embiya Chomitz Allah B'Sreifim. See here, many Achreinim are bothered with Akasha. There is a Gemara in Beitza. I think it's of Zion on with Beis. The Mishnah in Beitza. But the Mishnah talks about Chala Tameya. Who are the Nami? Truma Tameya. The same thing. If you have Truma and Tameya, Chala has the same thing as Truma. So we mentioned that there was a Gemara in Bamam of Likin where the Gemara's Lashon is Kishem She Mitzvah Lefes HaKotchim She Nitma'u Kach Mitzvah Lissar Fes HaTruma She Nitmeis. Just like there's a Mitzvah in Chumash to burn Kotchim She Nitma'u that became Tame, so too there's a Mitzvah to burn Truma She Nitmeis. So Tosfos on that daf in Bamam has two opinions whether Kishem Kach means that just like there's a mitzvah in our Torah, so too Truma Shenit means there's a mitzvah in the Raisa to burn it. Or maybe I should say no. Kotchim Shenit was a mitzvah in our Torah to burn it. But Truma Shenit, maybe it's only a mitzvah in the Rabbanim. But it's either a mitzvah in our Torah or a mitzvah in the Rabbanim. Let's say you have Truma Temeya, instead of burning it, you'll be it's not going to help. You're going to give it to the coin. What's the coin going to do with it? So let's say you give it to the kohen, and then the kohen is going to scatter it. He's going to be Zorah Baruach, Mefarev Zorah LaRuach HaMata LaYam. Would that be an acceptable way of destroying the Truma Temeya? So Tosfos says, no. The Gemara said, either it's a din deraisa or it's a din derabbanan kishem shem mitzvah lisrev. It's a husband shach mitzvah lisrev, start Truma Shenitmeh. You're not Yotze if you don't burn it. But Rashi doesn't agree. Rashi holds that if you machal it to a kelev, meaning a kelev shal kohen, you're not allowed to feed the truma to a kelev shal Yisrael. It's only permissible to feed truma to a kelev shal kohen. So if the kohen himself wants to eat truma, or Eshes kohen wants to eat truma, if they're tamei, or the truma is tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. But to feed it to the kelev shal kohen, that there's no Iser. If the Truma is Tamei, that there's no Iser. So Rashi's opinion is that it's permissible to feed the Truma Tamei to the Kelev Shal Kohen. And Tosfos disagrees. Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos and Beitza, Chav Zainam and Beis. So the problem is, the Mishnah says that a Chala Tamei is Mukta. It says, Lo Yizizim Im Koima. So Bishleim, according to Tosfos, that the Truma Tamei, you can't eat it. And the only thing you can do is to burn it. So then it's a piece of junk. All you're going to do is to burn it. So it's a mukta. Whatever is junk is considered mukta. But according to Rashi, you're permitted to feed animals. If something, let's say chametz b'pesach is mukta, why? Because osa b'achil and osa b'ana. You can't feed it to the animals either. But you would have some kind of treif of food on yantav. Let's say you have a nevela, a treifa, not basa b'chol of the rice. Let's say basa b'chol of the rabbanan. Chicken that was cooked in milk is basa b'chol of the rabbanan. So it says in Yerideya, we found some Mishnah in Perek HaLabasa, that when something is basa b'chol of the rice, you have all the three prohibitions, asa l'bashal, asa b'achil, asa b'ana. It's only basa b'chol of the rabbanan, so it's only asa le'echol, it's muta l'bashal, and it's muta b'ana. So let's say by mistake, they cook chicken with milk. So it would be basa b'chol of the rabbanan. So it's mutter to get hanoah from it. So you're permitted to feed it to your animals. If you have a dog, you're allowed to feed the dog the basa b'chol of the rabban. So mele the basa b'chol of the rabbanon on the veilu trefa would not be mukta, not on Shabbos, not on Yantar, because it's ma'achal behemah. Ma'achal behemah is not mukta. Let's say you have a pile of hay. Hay is not royal achilus adam, but it's royal achilus behemah. So since it's a royal achilus behemah, so it's not mukta. The Gemara says, "Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there." I said, "Tikkun all the dinim ba mukta were patterned." This is a Gemara perek kol akelim, beginning the 24 prokim of Masechah Shabbos. It's one whole perek about tiltal kelim. Tiltal kelim is along the lines of mukta. It's not exactly the same. Let's say you have a hammer or a screwdriver. That's called a klisha malach talisa, or a pen or a pencil. That's a klisha malach talisa. You're not allowed to handle it. Strictly speaking, it's not really mukta. Because the pen or the pencil or the screwdriver and the hammer, you're permitted to move it. You can't move it mechama letzel. If you're afraid that it's going to get ruined, afraid someone's going to steal it, then you're not allowed to move it because it's a klisha malach talis. But if you want to move it, letzorach gufay, let's say I need the hammer to crack open a nut. I have a tough nut. I can't crack it open. So if I can't do it with the klisha malach talaheta, you say permitted to use the hammer. They crack it open. Or let's say you have a jar of pickles, whatever, and you can't open up the jar of pickles. You want to bang on the side of the jar. You want to pry it open with a screwdriver or something. So you're permitted to handle a klisha malach tali iser, the tzarach gufo, or the tzarach mekom, if it's in the way. It's on the table where I was supposed to have set the table on Erev Shabbos and to remove everything that doesn't belong. I didn't do that. So if there's money on the table, I'm not allowed to take the money off on Shabbos because money is mukta mamish. If they're broken, smashed kelim, that's mukta mamish. And mukta mamish, you're not allowed to move it. The tzarach guf or the tzarach mekomo. But it's only kalishim lach talis, so then you are permitted to move it. The tzarach guf or the tzarach mekomo. So the Gemara says that how did the Chachamim determine what's mukta and what's not mukta? The Gemara says, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said Tikkun. It's patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah. There are four things, four categories of things that are Mekabal Tumah. Or the Mekelim Achlim HaMashkin. So whatever is a piece of junk, it doesn't belong to any one of the four categories. Or the Mekelim Achlim HaMashkin is considered mukta. You're not allowed to handle it at all. The money is considered a piece of junk. You can use the money to buy a lot of things, but the money itself doesn't have any hishtamshus. If you have a cup or a fork or a knife or a plate or a chair or a suit, so that's a beged, a kli. So a kli has a davash yesh b'chashibas. So the Chachamim never prohibited handling any one of these four categories of things. Or the mekelim, ochel, and mashkin, they never prohibited that. They asked handling the hammer and the screwdriver and the pen and the pencil a little bit, but they didn't declare it as mukta. It's an isa tiltul kelim, and it has a het to not only it has a het to the tzarach gufo, the tzarach mekomo, but mukta is whatever doesn't belong into any one of these four categories. So strictly speaking, food is mekabel tumah. It's only if it's royal achilas adam. Ochel mamashkim only if it's royal achilas adam. But with respect to mukta, the Gemara said the Farish in Beitza, that even if it's a whole bunch of hay, that it's only Michael Bain, it's not Michael Lodem at all. Let's say you have you ate a fruit and you left over the pits. So the people don't eat the pits, people only eat the fruit. But since the pits are royal Michael Behemoth, so some behemoths would eat them. So then it's not considered mukta. Whatever is machal behema is not considered mukta. So that's so let's say if you want to feed nevelus a treifus, a basa b'chol of the rabbanan, is machal behema, it's royal machal behema, so it's not considered mukta on yontif. But if it's truma tameya, then the Mishnah says, lo yizizim emkaimim. That's a Mishnah chav zayinim, it's mukta. So you see from the Mishnah that you're not allowed to move it. You see that it's not machal, it's against Rashi. Rashi holds that you're permitted the din kishem shenitz mitzvah lisref as a kach mishenitmo kach mitzvah lisref as a truma shenitmo. He says lab dat kalisref. If you machel to behem is also good. The fire of zol aruch is also good. Rashi says. So that's the shaila. So if you can be machel to the behem as koyin, mutter to feed it to the behem as koyin. So why does the Mishnah say that it's considered muktzah? So Rashi asks that on himself, on Chav Zayin and Beis. So Rashi answers, because on Yontif, on Shabbos Yontif, you're not allowed to feed it to the Bimas Kohen. Why? Because it's a malacha. What kind of a malacha is it? It's a malacha of Havara. How is it Havara? You're not burning it, but you're destroying it. Whenever you destroy something, so that's also, even though you're destroying it in a fashion other than burning, Rashi says that you're in violation of a malacha. So that's what the Pnei Yeshua and the other Achron Leyes does not contradict the Rashi over here. Rashi and Ardaf explains, Omar Rav Shmamin Amid the Rebbe Akiva Tlas. You see, the Rebbe Akiva thinks that Embi Achamitz Ela B'Sreifa, because if it would have been Hash B'Sasa B'Chol Dabar, he would have been able to read the Poshib Shat and the Poskach B'Yom Rishon Tashbisu, that you destroy the Chametz on the first day Pesach. Masha Chametz HaMenas Levara, in violation of Bal Yerob by Matzah. That was the Tosis we had yesterday. Where was it? 2 days ago on Daf, I think, Chof Tes on the base. The Kamochi Achri, Chof Tes on the base. The last four lines in the Tosis on the bottom of the page. The Kamochi Achri, Masha Chametz, the Pesach, Daito Levara, Eno Eva, Bal Yerob by Matzah. Yeah. So the person is going to wait till Pesach in the morning, Ach Bayam Rishon Tashbisu, is going to destroy the chametz. He's not going to destroy it either burning it in a fire. That's a malocha. And no, he doesn't believe in itaych, so that you wouldn't be allowed to do. But he's going to be mashbis b'chol dover, hashbis sasa b'chol dover. That's what Rashi says. So that would have been mutter. That would have been mutter. So that's what the Achronim is. But Rashi himself writes in Beitza that that's a malocha of by truma t'meyo. Rashi holds that you don't have to burn a davke b'sreifa. Hash b'sasa b'chol dover is also good. You can feed it to behemas kain, or you can be mefarav zor laruach. So mefarav zor laruach, Rashi says, but that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yontov. That's maloch. So it doesn't contradict this Rashi. So the Achronim answered the Pashtus. That Rashi that says that it's a maloch, the Rashi and Beitza, that's on a level of the Rabbanan. Here Rebbe Akiva is working on the level of the Raisa. He's trying to prove that the pasuk that says "Achba Yomarishin Tashbisu" means Erev Pesach. So if you're talking on the level of the Raisa, to feed the chametz to the dogs is not a malacha. What malacha is it? But the Rabbanan there is a malacha. But the Rabbanan, in addition to the 39 of his malachas, Chavis, Ariya, Koitza, Dosh, Ma'amah, everything else, there are another two malachas in the Rabbanan. One is molid, if you create something new, because all of the 39 malachas, so the Rebbeinu Shlom created the world with 39 different malachas. So we're not allowed to do malachas. So then in addition to the 39 malachas, the Rabbanan, they added a 40 and a 41st malacha, 40th malacha, molid, if you create something new, and a 40 and a 41st malacha, if you destroy something. So when are you molded? When do you create something new? So Rashi, there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, that you're not allowed to take snow, emiraskan and sashelik, you're not allowed to take snow or frozen water in your hands and crush it together in order to liquefy it. So the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch quotes, based on the Rambam says that it looks like schita. Just like you're not allowed to squeeze out orange juice, you're not allowed to squeeze out zeisim anovim, that's an issa deraisa, orange juice and issa derabanan. So too, you're not allowed to squeeze out your hair. The Gemara says, the ain't schita b'seir. If you squeeze out your hair, it's not a malacha deraisa. But on a level of the Rambanan, there's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is, you're not allowed to squeeze out your hair with the Rambanan. And at Torah, there's no malacha, because the water is not, the water is entrapped in between the hairs. The water is not absorbed in the hair. If you squeeze out water from, squeeze out the juice from a lemon, or you squeeze out juice from an orange, that you're squeezing out. The water is absorbed. If you're squeezing out water from a beggar, that's squeezing out something that's absorbed. But the water is not absorbed in the hair. It's trapped in between in the hair. So that's, we have accepted that opinion, that squeezing out the water is an issa derabbanan. So if you take snow and you crush it, it looks as if you're squeezing out. You're not really squeezing out. You're just liquefying the snow. So the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch writes like that. It's awesome with the Rabbanan, and we're asking Sashelek to squeeze it out because it looks like schita. It's a told the dosh with the Rabbanan. And Rashi on that Gemara, Masech HaShabbos, says, hey, we're asking Sashelek because of molid. So Poshab Shat, the molid means you took something that was solid and you converted it, you made it into a liquid. So you made it at Panim Chadashes Bo'olakan. It looks totally, it's a different form. So the new form that it has now, namely the liquid form, you created the new form on Shabbos, that's an Issa Derabbanan, that's Moilid. So just like they made their 40, their 39 malachas on the level of the Raisin. And then with the Rabbanan, they added on another two categories of malachas, according to Rashi. They added on a malacha of Moilid. You're not allowed to be molded something new. And that's why there's a discussion, according to Rashi, that there's an Issa molded if you convert a solid into liquids. And maybe if you take water and you put it into the freezer in order to make ice cubes, maybe that's also an Issa molded. Just like if you take a solid, you convert it into a liquid. Maybe converting a liquid into a solid should also be an Issa Rab molded. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes, how can you ask that? We always did that in Europe. The minute we always Osla Hakel. That they would take, they would prepare a picha on Erev Shabbos, a Michael, and then they would want to congeal. So they would put it, they didn't have any refrigerators with a freezer, so they would put it in the basement and that's where it was cold. So that and it would congeal over there. So they did it all the time on Shabbos. They would take a liquidy food and put it in a chilly part of the house, for the purpose of making it into a salad. So he says, the meaning always was that that's mutter. And others want to say that it's also, that's a whole discussion. So Pasha Pshat and Rashi is that that's an Issa Molid. You're not allowed to eat a new thing. What's also an Issa Molid, another example, Molid Reach. Molid Reach is also us. That's, let's say, if you put an etrog, if you put the perfume, a woman puts perfume on her body, that's mutter. But to put perfume on a beged, that's also, or let's say to put an esrig, wrap up an esrig in cloth or in the fuzzy stuff that we usually hold the esrig in. So if it was sitting in that fuzz before Yanta began, so then you're just putting it back. But if it never sat in that fuzz, you put it in on Yanta, and then you moidle rech in the fuzz. So that's an Isra of moidle rech. So it could be moidle rech is a sakan mana. You're improving the beged because it has a good smell now. Or it could be that it's molid. The molid is this new malacha, according to Rashi, a 40th malacha of molid. And just like molid is a malacha, so to destroy something is a malacha. So what's an example of destroying? So Rashi in Veitzach of Zayin and Beis gives an example on a level of the Rabbana. If you have truma to meyo, so kishem shemitzu lisraf, sakach mishenit, lukach to lisraf, Rashi owes labdapke lisraf, labdapke lisraf, to destroy. So if you're going to destroy it by mefar v'zorah l'ruach, or feed it to a behemoth koyin, to feed it to behemoth, so you're not allowed to feed it to behemoth koyin. So that's, whenever you give food to a behemoth, that's not a malacha. You can feed your behemoths on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if you're feeding the behemoth koyin, truma tmeyo, that's a din that you're supposed to destroy it. So if you're destroying it by feeding it to the behemah, Rashi holds you to the mitzvah by feeding it to the behemah, then you're destroying it. So to create or destroy are two additional malachas from the Rabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, there are 39 malachas. On the level of the Rabbanan, there are 41 malachas. An Isra of creating and an Isra of destroying. Molid and destroying. Yeah, so that's the pashtus, the teretz, the discussion that the Kranim were bothered. Peshu and others has to steer. Rashi Bayos says that according to Rabbi Akiva obviously thinks the Chometz al Bisreif, because if it would have been Hash Besas B'chol David, there would be no prohibition, there would be no malocha. I doesn't contradict the Rashi and Beitza. And the answer is Rashi and Beitza is talking on the level of the Rabbanan. It's an asset. It's a malacha to destroy anything. Here, Rashi is talking on the level of the Raisa. There's another interesting Rashi here on the next piece of Gemara on the top of Pei Amud Beis. In Masah Stara Rabbanan, we learn that from the pasuk La'yivala Chachamis La'yivala Chasor Shalchay Atarai Aval Atarai Shalachirim Mishal Gavoya. So Rashi says on Shal Gavoya Kotche Berak Abayis. Why there are two types of Hegdish? There's Kotche Mizbech, there's Kotche Berek Abayis. So why did Rashi say only Kotche Berek Abayis? So Rab Soloveitchik used to say over the name of Rab, this is famous, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that Kotche Berek Abayis is Mammon Hegdish. It belongs to Hegdish. Kotche Mizbech is not really Mammon Hegdish. The Gemara in Kiddushin has a big machlokes satanai. The kachem is amam gavoya, amam bailim, and we pass in banas amam gavoya. Then the further machlokes, what about kachem kalim? So that's a machlokes at Bias Aglili and Achacham, where the kachem kalim is mam and bailim, amam gavoya. And there are fears in the Rambam, the Ktzois lists of the Lach Mishnah, the Ktzois. There are five Rambams where the Rambam says kachem kalim is mam and bailim. The five Rambams where the Rambam says the kachem kalim is gavoya. It's a big issue with the Rambam. How come there's theories in the Rambam? So what does that mean? That korbanos amam gavoya. So Rav Chaim explained it's not the same as kachem beregabais. Kachem beregabais, we take it literally. It's mam gavoya. Mam and hegdish bikinyon, it belongs to hegdish. So that's where Rashi learns over here that shalchoy atarayah avalatarayah shal gavoya. If you have chometz that belongs to Hegdish as ben kachem beregabais, so that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Hegdish. So Hegdish, who's going to violate by your Rabbi Matze? Hegdish. Hegdish is not Jewish. It's not a human being. So there's no one is in violation of, nobody's in violation of by your Rabbi Matze if Hegdish owns chometz. But if you have korbanos that happen to be chometz, let's say you have a korban toida, and there are four different minim of chalas teida. So three of them, there are 40 chalas teida. So three minim, 10 of each of the 10 chalas for each min. So 30 out of the 40 chalas teida are matzah, and 10 out of the 40 are going to be chametz. So the 10 that are chametz belongs to the one who's bringing the carbon. We call it mam gavoya. That means you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha with it. We treat it as if it doesn't belong to you. If you're going to sell it to someone else, that constitutes a Bizayin HaKdusha. You can't sell it to someone else and you can't use it to be Mekadosh and Isha because that's a Bizayin HaKdusha. You can't treat it as if it's your own. But in the truth, it does belong to you. It doesn't belong to Hegdush. That's Rav Chaim has Achoches from the Rambam and from Tosfos, from a lot of Rishonim like that. That there's a major difference between Kachem beregabais and Kachem Mizbeach. Kachem beregabais is literally mam and hegdish. That's shel gavoya. It belongs to hegdish. A hegdish is not in violation of your rabbi matzah. But if you have chometz, the 10 chalas toida of a korban toida that are chometz, 30 are matzah, 10 are chometz. So if you have the 10 that are chometz, that taka belongs to you. So there would be by matzah on that. We call it mam gavoya. It's an expression. We call it mam gavoya means that you're not allowed to treat it as if it's your own property to sell to someone else out to be Mekadosh and Isha with it, that would constitute a Bizayin HaKdusha. We say the Kedushin is not even Chal and the Mechira is not even Chal. But it really is Mam and Bailam. There's an interesting, one of the great Gedolim in Europe before the Second World War was Rabbi Avram Doif Kahana Shapira. He was the rabbi in Kovna. Kovna was a very big city. When you go visit in Lithuania now, so the few shuls that remain, so they'll all have a picture in the shul. A lot of them have a picture of Yitzchok Hanan, and they'll all have a picture of the Dvar Avram. He was the last rabbi in Kovna. He died from a sickness in the Kovna ghetto before they had a chance to kill him. He was related to the Soloveitchik family. That's called Mibes Harab. Beis Harab are descendants from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was from Beis Harab, from the descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And he learned in Volozhin under Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Every so often in a tshuva, he'll quote what he heard from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he has his tshuva, so the new style, analytic style, instead of just being Medama Milsa the Milsa. Superficially, he goes into a lot of analysis. So he has a tshuva written, a response written to a young Talmud Chacham, Tzurva Mide Rabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham. Usually the expression Tzurva Rabbanan means a Talmud Chacham is younger than the age of 40, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of 40 years of teaching Torah to Bnei Yisrael, just had it, I think, recently, one of the sellers. It took 40 years of Moshe Rabbeinu teaching Torah to Bnei Yisrael till they really began to understand what he's driving at. So the Gemara has a comment, Ein Olam Oymen Al Das Rabbi, Allah HaRabboiman. You can't really understand fully what you heard from your Rebbe. It takes sometimes 40 years till it sinks in. A lot of things that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik over 40 years ago, beginning to understand now, oh, I found a Gemara, I found a Tosfos, I found a Mishnah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about. I thought he was making something up. So a lot of times it takes 40 years. And the Gemara says that it's not right that someone should pass on a Shaila before the age of 40, because he's not really Omer Adas Rabba Ad Lachar Abba. It really should be 40 years after he started learning by his Rebbe. But the Tosfos points out that's what it should have been, 40 years of learning by Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, L'nosan Hashem l'chaim l'im l'adas v'naim l'irot, as daim l'shma adayem azeh. But that's not what the din. The din depends on the person being 40 years old. He didn't start learning by his Rebbe the day he was born. He didn't start learning by the Rebbe till around the age of 15 or 20. So you should really wait 40 years from then. So Tosfos says, we don't wait. We wait till the age of 40. So l'chatchila, the Gemara says, shouldn't pass on any Shabbos before the age of 40. So the Dvar Avraham has a tshuva, usually has the name of the person to whom the tshuva was written. Here he's going to insult the person, so he doesn't have his name. So he says, l'chvod ha'avrech, atzurim rabbon, apparently a young married Talmud Chacham, and she'er b'sori, shin beis, and she'er b'sori, a relative of his. And the letter sounds very much that it was sent to Moshe Soloveitchik. Moshe Soloveitchik had a whole Dvar Torah that he printed later on about the difference between Me'ila and Kodesh Mizbech and Me'ila and Kodesh Berech HaBayis. It's a different din of Me'ila. Me'ila by Kodesh HaBayis is in a certain sense a violation of Gezel because the Berech HaBayis belongs to Hegdash. Mamon Hegdash B'Kyanai. Mashenike Me'ila by Kodesh Mizbech really belongs to the Bala Korban. So it's a bizarre ownership, but it's not really a Gezel of Hegdash. They're two different kinds of Me'ila. So this Dvar Torah, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik had printed this, and he has this, he said, based on Rambam's, and then he has a difficulty with a Gemara. He leaves the Gemara with a Tzorachim. So the Kovner Rav writes to him in Hebrew, young man, that's not the Derech Halima that we have. Make Yisoid is based on Gemaras and you have Shverer Rambams. You don't make Yisoid is based on Rambams. And because of you, Yisoid based on a Rambam, you make a Shverer Gemara. But that was the Dvar Torah that he had. He had a Dvar Torah based on Rambams, this fundamental distinction between Kodesh Berech HaBayis, Kodesh Mizbech, and then he wrote about what's the din of Me'ila by Parah Aduma. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that there is Me'ila by Parah Aduma. So his whole Dvar Torah is about that. So one of the members of the Soloveitchik family told me, I showed him this tshuva, so they thought that Taka probably was sent to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That's what it looks like. It's about this dvar, the difference between Kodesh Mizbech and Kodesh Berech HaBayis. So Kodesh Mizbech is really Mamon Bailim, but we have to treat it as if it were Mamon Gavoya. And Kodesh Berech HaBayis are literally Mamon Gavoya. Literally Mamon Gavoya. So that's the Rashi about Shel Gavoya. Rashi says on Shel Gavoya, if it belongs to Berech HaBayis, sounds like if it's Kodesh Mizbeach, it wouldn't be excluded, but be the owner of the carbon, whose carbon it is. He would be in violation by Rabbi Matz. Rashi has a comment on Shel Acherim, Shel Gavoya. Shel Acherim, he doesn't learn that the Chometz belongs to somebody else. You understand Shel Acherim is a euphemism for Anochri. It really means Chemtze Shel Anochri. So the Pnei Yeshua and the Vilna Gaon and many others assume in Rashi that Chemtzu Shal Yisrael Acher, Bishusi, I would violate Rabbi Yimotze. The Chometz doesn't have to belong to me. It does be Shalom. If the Chometz belongs to Anochri, then I don't violate by the Chometz belongs to Hegdash, I don't violate by Rabbi Yimotze. But if the Chometz doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to another Jew, from Rashi it would appear that one would be in violation of Yirah by Matzah. So I remember Rav Soloveitchik mentioned Akasha from one of the Achrayim, from the Rashi in the Mems. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah, Menvov HaMeralav, going over to Amad Beis. Ketzim Afim Chala B'tumma B'yamtav. A person has flour that was Tomei, basically bigger flour. The kosher the Pesach, that's tummy. Not like we have matzah mel. We have matzah mel, so even if you mix it with water, you let it sit all day long, it can turn into chametz. The Gemara says, once the matzah was baked already, it's already upward, so then you can soak it in water all you want, it can't become chametz. You can grind it up and make flour out of it, and soak it in water from now on, it can't become chametz. We're talking about kosher le'pesach dikah flour that they bake matzahs from. So I bought some kosher le'pesach dikah flour, not matzah miller, already was baked as matzah. It wasn't baked yet, raw flour, and I mix it with water on yontif, and I want to bake it, and I'm supposed to be mafrish truma. So ketz mafrish and chala betuma, and everything is tummy. So normally, if everything's tor, you're going to bake the cake or the cookies or the matzah that's roilach needed. Then you're going to bake the challah so the Kohanim can eat the challah tahira. But if it's challah tmeya, the Kohanim can't eat it. They can eat it. According to Rashi, the behemoths can eat the challah tmeya, but you're not allowed to do a malocha lachem v'lochem. You're not allowed to do a malocha on yontif for oichal behemoths. Achashiach oichal nebshu levado. So the Gemara has lachem v'lo leklovim. You're not allowed to carry, let's say, you're not allowed to carry to the Bronx Zoo on Yontif, on Chalamar, you're allowed to. But on Yontif, you're not allowed to carry matzah to the Bronx Zoo to feed the elephants. The elephant says lachem v'lo leklovim. You're not allowed to do a malocha for the purpose of echon nefesh of behemoth. V'loliakom lachem v'lo leklovim. It's not included in the echon nefesh. So the problem is over here. What are you going to do? You're going to be mafresh chala tmeya. Then aren't you going to be in violation of Bal Yerod by matzeh? So the Mishnah says there's a problem. So one Tana says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, on the bottom of Mem Vavim and Allah, going over to Mem Vavim and base and the Mishnah in Pesachim, Lo Zal Chamashim Zar Mala Bal Yerod by matzeh. There's not Bal Yerod over here. Because the Chametz doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Kohanim. So it belongs to the Kohanim, but they're Jewish. So don't you see from the Mishnah, the Chemtzo Shei Yisrael Acher Bishu Si, I do not violate by your Rabbi Matzah. How can you say a diuk and Rashi? The Rashi on the top of Hey on the Day said, Shal Acherim, he didn't say Chomis that belongs to someone else. He said Chomis Shal Nochrim. He says the word Acherim is a nickname for it doesn't mean Chomis belongs to someone else. It sounds from Rashi, Chemtzo Shei Yisrael Acher Bishu Si, I violate by your Rabbi Matzah, the Pnei Yeshua and the Vilna Goyen and many Acherim. How can he say that? It's against the Mishnah. So the Achranim asked that kash. The Orchodesh asked that kash. Orchodesh is a pilpul sefer. I remember Rav Soloveitchik mentioned this kash in the name of the Orchodesh. So I bought an Orchodesh. I thought it's a good sefer to look at. And then I realized the only thing I ever quoted from that sefer was this kash. And he gave a teretz on it. So he didn't think the kash was correct. The rest is all pilpul. So I wouldn't recommend that you should buy the Orchodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look in the Rashi there on the Mishnah, Rashi on the Gemara, right after that, writes himself, calls man, if you're mafrish challah, the challah belongs to Shevet Kahuna. So calls man, you didn't give a particular kohen yet, it belongs to Shevet Kahuna, then it's like chemtzo shal akum, and chemtzo shal gavoya, lachem lo leakum, lachem lo la gavoya, because Hegdish and Akum are Bailam who are not Muzaram by Yerod by Motzi. So Shevet Kahuna also the same. Shevet Kahuna, it doesn't mean that it's owned Beshutfas by all the Kahanim in the world. Shevet Kahuna is a Chalosh Bailas. It belongs to this corporation of Shevet Kahuna. Once you'll take the Chala and give it to a particular Kohen, then it'll be his Bailas. Then Rashi's Mashmah famous. Then there would be a violation of Bal Yerod by Motzi on the part of the person who's holding on to the chametz, even though the chametz belongs to the particular coin that he gave it to. From the Rashi, there's mashma of the favorish, like the Pnei Yeshua, like the Vilna Goyen. If you would have given the truma to the coin and then you would hold it as a pikudin, you would be in violation of your Rabbi Mot, even though you're not Mekabel Achrayus. But calls man you to a particular coin, and belongs to Shevet Kahuna, so it means that the bailim of the challah, the bailim of the truma, is the Chaloshem Bailas of Shevet Kahuna. So the owner of the Chametz is an individual, it's not a person. The owner of the operation, like Hegdish, is an institution who can, Berakah Bais, Kachah Berakah Bais, a Chaloshem, doesn't mean that it belongs to the Rebbein Shlom, it belongs to Hegdish. And Hegdish is a Bailam who's not a Bar Hachi, a violation of Bal Yerod by Masa, same thing, Nochrim. So that's what they have in common. So if you have Shal Gavaya, Shal Akum, Shal Maman HaShevet, of Shevet Kahuna, The Bailam is a lot bar hachi avayin b'al yorad by matzah. So therefore, I'm not in violation b'al yorad by matzah. I'm their chametz. If the chametz is bishusi, I'm not in violation. It's interesting, the Ramban on the previous daf, the Tosis writes, the rice of the beetle beyond Masagi, so there was an andalan on the base, so there's Machlegas, Rashi, and Tosis. What does that mean? So Rashi learns, when you mevat l'chametz, that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Because the Targum Onkelos translates Tashbisu to Vatlan. And Tosis wasn't happy with Rashi. Tosis said that the zman of the Kiyum Esei is after Chatzos. After Chatzos, ain't a bishus shalodim. So you don't have, and Tosis learns that he can't be mevat l'chametz. Gemara says v'erish, after the zman isur, he can't be mevat l'chametz. So how can Rashi say that the bit l'chametz is the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but the Kiyum HaMitzvah is only after Chatzos, and after Chatzos, he can't be mevat l'chametz. He can only mevat l'chametz before Chatzos. For Chatzos, there's no mitzvah. Rashi disagreed with that. Rashi held that after Chatzos is the zman of the Iser essay of Tashbisu. The Kiyum essay is before Chatzos. He had Tosis in a few places disagreed with that Rashi. So Tosis disagreed with Rashi. He said, being mevat l'chametz is not a Kiyum HaMitzvah, but it's a harama. It's a way to avoid violation of Balirah by Matzeh. Bit l'chametz means you're mevat mafke l'chametz, and if the chametz doesn't belong to you, you're not in violation of Balirah by Matzeh. So the Ramban happens to agree with Rashi, and the Ramban quotes that the Talmud Yerushalmi presents a machlokes hatanoim, two brises that contradict each other. If you have chomet shel hefker bishuscha, are you in violation of Bal Yerah by Matz? Exactly what Tosis learns in the Gemara. Bin deraisa bebitul biagi. Once you mevat lachametz means you're mafkeret. Once you're mafkeret, there's no Bal Yerah by Matz. Ramban quotes that's 2 days in the Yerushalmi. So why should it be, what's the issue? If the Ramban holds that it doesn't have to be Shalachem, obviously Rashi holds and the Ramban holds, you don't have to have Shalachem in order to violate Bal Yerah by Matzah. So what's the Shaila whether Chomet Shal Hefked is violation Bal Yerah by Matzah? So the, we spoke a little bit about this, that the Chazon Ish in his commentary on Mishnayos Orla, the beginning of Orla, raises a very important question. What's Pshat and Hefker? When the Rabban Shalom created the whole world, so everything was Hefker, everything was up for grabs, so it didn't belong to anybody. So Adam Arishan grabbed certain things and made Kinyanim, it was Echem and a Hefker. And then everything was all grabbed up. Fine. So that belongs to people. Then you have a Pasuk, Vashviyas Tishmetena Unetashta. In Shnas HaShmitah, there's a mitzvah on the farmer in Eretz Yisrael that he should be Mafke. It doesn't have to be Mafke, his farm. He should be mafka the peris that grow on the farm. And everybody has the right. They can't say, yeah, fine, the peris are hefker, but you can't walk into my backyard. So the din is his backyard is also hefker with respect to. People can't come into my backyard and have a picnic and blast their radio. They could come into my backyard in order to take the peris that are hefker. That we mentioned. That's machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. Mabit was on the same bezem together with Rabbi Yosef Karo in Tzfat in the 1500s. So the Mabit was of the opinion that it's Hefker and Tzafkait and the Malka. The Ribbon Shalom declared the Perish Viz as Hefker. And we assume usually like the basis of that it's not Afkait to the Malka. It's not that the Ribbon Shalom declared it as Hefker. The owner of the farm has a mitzvah to be Mafke his Perish and to be Mafke the farm, that people would have the right to walk into his farm as to open up the gates. Leave them open, put up a sign. He gives everyone permission to come, like an Eretz Yisrael. He gives everyone permission to come into his backyard. And not that he's giving them permission to go in his farm. The farm is Hefker. He's Mafke the farm with respect to the right of everyone to come in order to take the pears. So the Chazon Ish raises a question. So the Pasuk reads, HaShviyas, the pears, the Grosh, Nasashmit, Tishmetena, Unetashta. You should be Mafke the pears. Why does it say twice Tishmetena Unetashta? So there's a Tosis in Bava Kamma, Perek Meruba, but Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi that in general there's a Machlokes or Rekiva and Rabbi Shmuel, what he darshan l'shenes kfulim. When the Chumash repeats the word Haitanik, Nasin Titim, Pesach Tiftach, Vos Yumos, you have a lot of times the word is repeated. Kavatik Berenaba Yamahu, a lot of times the word is repeated. So Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion in the end that Diba Derek Hashem Meriad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, but he dictated it the way people speak. So just like people speak, they say, they repeat themselves, they extra words. So to an achomer, sometimes they're extra words. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. And we don't accept Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. We assume lo de b'torka l'misham b'nei Adam. Whenever you have the shenis kfulim, so Rabbi Kiva holds that you darshan something. Sanhanik tanik, no sentitin, mos yumos, vosach tiftach. Every time there's a kefa loshen, we darshan something. So here it says, hashviz tish metena unetashta. So the Yerushalmi darshan tish metena, you should be mapka the perishviz. Unetashta teaches yishlach netisha acheres shehika zu all 7 years. Not only on Perish Shviz, all 7 years. If you want to, you can always be matke some property that you possess. That's the mocker for the institution of Hefker. The mocker for the institution of Yush is a different pasuk. That's what Tosa shows, that Yush and Hefker are based on two different psukim and they work in a different fashion. Some other time we'll talk about that. But Hefker, that the ability to be matke something is learned out from the pasuk Tishmetena Unetashto. The word Tishmetena means Shnas Hashmita. The farmer has a mitzvah to declare that it should be Hefka, according to the Beis Yosef's understanding. Unetashta means whenever you want, you can be Mafka anything else that you possess, not only in connection with Perish Shviz. So the Chazon Ish raises a question, what's the pshat? When you own property and you declare it as Hefka, does it revert back to the original state that it had in Sheshes Mei Bereshis when the Rabban Shalom created the whole world? Everything was ownerless. So the perish mita, so when you are mafka your property, it reverts back to the state of ownerlessness. Or maybe the pshat is you can never, maybe there's no way to revert back to that state. In Sheshes Mei Bereshis, the Ribono Shel Olam created the whole world, everything was up for grabs. And then after everybody grabbed everything, it can never revert back to being ownerless. Maybe pshat and hefka means that I'm makne to the tzibur, that any one member of the tzibur has a right to take it for himself. There's city hall belongs to the tzibur, or the streets in the city belong to the tzibur. It belongs to the tzibur, not that any member of the tzibur has a right to acquire ownership of city hall. No, it belongs to the municipality, and the streets belong to the municipality. It's not that any individual member has a right to take it. But if you're matka something, maybe the pshat is that it's a maybe hefker is a haknot to the rabbim, in the sense, just like Maman HaShevet, when the farmer is mafresh truma and chaleb, belongs to the Shevet Kuhuna, that what do you mean belongs to Shevet Kuhuna? That any member of the Shevet Kuhuna has the right to take it and acquire private ownership of it, bailus hayachid. So maybe hefker is not declaring it ownerless. Maybe it means it belongs to the tzibur, so that in the sense that any member of the tzibur has a right to acquire it for himself. So the Chazon Ish raises this possibility. Where did he get such an einfall from? Because in Choshen Mishpat, if you look in Simon Shin Lama Gimel, that's a simon about Tzchiris Poyalim, so Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the page in Choshen Mishpat, Rabbi Kiveger has fantastic comments. I think more so on Choshen Mishpat than the other parts of Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, he's always fantastic. So Rabbi Kiveger there quotes a comment in the Mordechai on Bob Metziah, which is quoted by the Rama in the Darkei Moshe. The Rama wrote a commentary on the tour. That's called Darkei Moshe. Originally, he wrote the Darkei Moshe. He wasn't aware that the Beis Yosef had already written a commentary. So Darkei Moshe was much longer. And then when he originally printed the Darkei Moshe Ha'oruch, and then later on, when he got a copy of the Beis Yosef, so he figured, what does he have to duplicate whatever's in the Beis Yosef? So he abridged the Darkei Moshe. So in all the standard editions of the tour, you have the Beis Yosef on one side and the Bach on the other side, the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the page. So the Darkei Moshe is the abridged version. But every so often, he abridged it and he left something out that doesn't appear in the Beis Yosef. So it's a value to get, every so often there's something that neither appears in the Beis Yosef nor appears in the Ramah and his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So therefore it's kedai to get the Darkei Moshe Aruch also. It's available on all the Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. So the Rabbi Kiveger and Simon Shin Lamigimel in the Simon of Atzchiras Poyalim quotes an idea from the Mordechai. The Mordechai always quotes Balei HaTosfos. Mordechai was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg, the same time the Rosh and Agvos Maimoni. The Maharam Rutenberg was the end of the Tkuf of the Balei HaTosfos. And the Mordechai quotes from the Balei HaTosfos that when do you need a kinyan to be legally binding? That's only if Kisim Kermim Kala Misach HaKona Biyara Misach, when it's a Yochid with a Yochid. But if it's a Yochid with a Rabbim, then if the yochid commits himself orally to the rabbim to do work for them, or he agrees to sell furniture to them at a certain price, he can't back out later on. The rabbim is kind of with an oral declaration. Just like Amirasa Lagabakim Sirasa Lahedyadami, Mesira Lahedyad accomplishes a kinyan. So when you make a declaration, I'm giving this furniture, I'm giving this automobile to Hegdish, so Amirasa Lagabai accomplishes a kinyan. Amirasa Lagabai constitutes a kinyan. So Amirasa to a rabbim also constitutes a kinyan. How much is a rabbim? Three people. That's what the, so if you have three shutfim in a business, or you have, let's say there's a community yeshiva, and a rebbe commits himself to teaching yeshiva starting from September. So the Darke Moshe in Shin Lamed Gimel quotes on the Mordechai, once a poel chozer b'afil b'em tzayam, a worker can quit in the middle, unless it's going to cause a hefsid, he has a right to quit in the middle only if he didn't make a kinyan. But if the balabas made a kinyan with him, then the Mordechai holds that he can't back out. And if the yeshiva is run by the rabbim, it's not a, if it's a private yeshiva, one person makes profit. If it's a profit organization, someone's making money, so it's an individual person. But if it's a group of people, either group of people making money, or usually yeshivas don't make money, they lose money. So it's a group of people who are the members of the board of the yeshiva. So if the rebbe committed himself to a group of three or more people who run the yeshiva, it's considered like a kinyan. An oral commitment is binding to Hegdish. It's considered as if you made a kinyan. Amirasa levakim sirasa lehegdish. Amirasa to rabbim is also constitutes a kinyan. And how many people is a rabbim? Is three. So that's the Minhas Chinuch discusses the second point. Is that really true? That three is called a rabbim? There's a machloikis in the Gemara in Gittin. Gemara has a discussion regarding Neder Shehuda Barabim, Ein Lo HaTorah Ve'Ein Lo HaFora. So one version of the Gemara, Neder Shehuda Barabim, a person took a neder in the presence of a rabbim, and the other version is, no, Neder Shehuda Barabim, a neder that was taken in public in front of rabbim, Yesh Lo HaFora Ve'Yesh Lo HaTorah. You can't be Mata the neder. Neder Shehuda Al Das Rabim, Ein Lo HaFora Ve'Ein Lo HaTorah. So what's the definition of a rabbim? Whatever you pass, we pass the neder shuda by rabbim doesn't bother me. On the neder shuda by das rabbim. So how many people is it called the das rabbim? So it's a machlokes in the Gemara whether it's three or ten. So the one opinion holds that it's three. That's based on the pasuk by Zova. It says Anisha has a riyas dam, be'ase zivosa when it's normal, be'ase nidosa at the normal time. When it's to be expected, so then she has a din of a nida. What happens if she has the din? Kizosa val nidasa yarbim rabim below es nidasa during the 11 days, yud alef yom shebei nida la nida, then she becomes a zavah gedola. So how many days in a row does she have to have a riyaz dam below es nidasa that she should become a zavah gedola? The Gemara says 3 days. Why? Because it says yomim rabim. Yomim is plural shloshim. And the other time I disagree, and I say, yeah, in that context, rabbi means shlosha, but neder shuda barabim, neder shuda, that's why I'm here, it depends on 10. So the question is, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? Is it, the rule is that rabbim is really three, but by neder shuda barabim, we learn out from the story of the Givonim, that the Givonim came to Yeshua ben Nun, and they claimed that they came from a different country. They were lying. They misrepresented their story. They lied to Yeshua ben Nun. They claimed that they were not from Eretz Yisrael. They were really from Zayin Amimim, but they said they were from a different part of Africa, and they were afraid that the Jews were going to wipe out all the Goyim in Africa. So Yeshua ben Nun said, no, we're only going to force those nations who live in Eretz Yisrael that they have to give us Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to pick on you. If you live in a different country, we're not going to give you a hard time. Go back to Zante. And then he found out that they were lying, that they really were from the Zainam. So the pasuk says, "Kinishbo lahem Rosh Ha'eda," because the Rosh Ha'eda, the representatives of Klal Yisrael, took a shvua that they're not going to start up with the Givanim, even though it was the Sheker, even though it was under false pretenses, because the Givanim misled them into believing that they're from a different nation in Africa. They were really from the Zainamim, because Kinishbo lahem Rosh Ha'eda, it'll be Chil Hashem. So that's why they didn't kill them. So since it says there, Eda, and Eda usually means 10 people, So that's what we learn out this idea that it means 10, and you don't have any Hatorah. You don't have any Hatorah. So that's the question. Is basically the rule is Rabbim is 3, but Nedeshuda Barabim is an exception to the rule that there you need 10 because the Pasuk is Nishbalahem Rosh Ehoedah. Or maybe you should say the reverse, that basically Rabbim is 10, and the exception to the rule is the Zava Yamim Rabbim, there it means 3. So this is a Shaila. The Menchas Chinuch quotes a Machlokes Achronim. He quotes the Sefer Mishnas Chachamim. Mishnas Chachamim, nobody has in libraries, they have it. Private people don't have it. It was reprinted around 50 years ago, I think. Mishnas Chachamim is a voluminous set, quite a few volumes on the Rambam. So he raises a lot of issues there. The Menchas Chinuch quotes it pretty often. Menchas Chinuch was written a little over 100 years ago, so apparently it was a popular sefer at that time. So he has a shaila. There's a difference between Mesis and Mediach. Mesis is, they both try to convince other people to worship Abed Azar. Mesis is Liochid, and Mediach is Larabim. And there are differences in halacha. So the Achronim quoted by the Menchas Chinuch from the Sefer, Mishnas Chachamim, and the Rambam, the Achronim have a machlokes. How many people does he have to work on that it's called a Mediach, that he doesn't have the Dinam HaMesis, he rather has the Dinam HaMediach. Is it 3 or more, is Rabim, or is it 10 or more? That's one Shaila. And here also, this Mordechai quoted by the Ramon, the Dark Emotion, Shin Lama Gimel, and Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Choshen Mishpat, the Chidush of Rabbi Kiveger, that Kisim Karmim Kala Mesecha Kana Biala Mesecha Inida, Maisa Kinyan is only when it's a Yochid with a Yochid. But if a Yochid makes an oral commitment to a Rabbim, you don't need a Kinyan. What's the definition of a Rabbim? So the Mordechai says 3 people. He holds in Kol HaTorakula the definition of Rabbim is 3. Maybe Nishbalahem Rosh Ehoedah, maybe that's an exception to the rule that they need 10. Maybe that's an exception to the rule. But in principle, Rabbim is 3. So that's a Chiddush that Rabbi Kiveger quotes from the Mordechai, that the Rabbim can be kaina with an oral declaration. So this leads the Chazon Ish in a Sefer on Orla to suggest an idea that when a person has property and he's mafkirid, it's an oral declaration. And he gives up ownership of the karka. So he thought maybe hefker is not, you're making it ownerless. Maybe hefker means I'm makna to the rabbim. Just like if you makna to the rabbim of 3 or more. So the Mordechai says, the rabbim, just like Amiros alagavoya hegdish is kaina with an oral declaration, so too the rabbim is kaina. Not only the rabbim is kaina, the Rebbe agreed, he committed himself to work for this yeshiva. The yeshiva is owned by the rabbim, the community, or the representatives of the shul. He's going to sell furniture to the shul, and he gives him a price. Then he decides to change the price later on. He wants more money. So he has no right to. The kinyan already took place with the oral declaration. So just like rabbim, a kind of something that it should belong to the rabbim, that the Rebbe is nikna to the yeshiva, that he can't quit. He can't quit. They made a Kenyan. That's a question. They made a Kenyan. He can't quit in the middle of the year. And the Kehila was kind of the furniture for the shul, the chairs or the tables or whatever it is, or the light fixtures, whatever they want to be kind of. So just like if the rabbim is kind of that it should remain owned by the rabbim, you can make a Kenyan with an oral declaration. That's learned out from Hashvius. So maybe the Pasuk Hashviz Tishmetena Unetashta that teaches us that you can make Hefker all year long, not only Perishvias, whenever you want to be Matka anything, you can make such a declaration. Maybe the Pshat in the oral declaration is that it belongs, Yomakne, to the Rabbim. Maybe this Pasuk, the institution of Hefker, is the Mokker for that Mordechai, who said that whenever you Makne to the Rabbim, it's nicknamed with an oral declaration. Just like there is a din amirasa legavoya constitutes a kinyan. So amirasa le rabbim also constitutes a kinyan. And a rabbim means 3 or more. So the Chazon Ish has this suggestion in the beginning of Orla? Because the Mishnah in Orla talks on a tale of rabbim. A person is planting a tree and is giving it over to the municipality. how does he give over ownership to the municipality? It doesn't say what he does. He just makes a declaration. He's planting a tree and he says he gives it over to the municipality. So it sounds like the rab, Hanatel or Rabbim, sounds like the Rabbim is kind of just with his oral declaration. And he has a Mishnah and a Dorim also like that. So he came up with this chiddush. He doesn't really quote them. I don't think he quotes that Mordechai that the Darkei Moshe quoted and the Rabbi Kivega quoted in Chosh Mishpat Shilam Gimel. I'm putting the two together. But he came up with the same chiddush on his own based on the Mishnah and Orla and the Mishnah in the middle of the Dorim that there should be such a thing. Hefka means it's kone to the Rabbim in the sense that any member of the Rabbim has a right to take it for himself. So getting back again, we said, Tosfos is of the opinion on Dalet on the base of the Raisa, Bitl B'Yamasagi, that Bitl means you're Mapke Lacham, and Mapke Lacham is not by your Rabbi Matzah, because in order to violate by your Rabbi Matzah, it has to belong to you. It doesn't belong to you, you're not in violation of Bal Yeroi. In fact, the Rambam on Chumash holds, not only does it have to belong to you, it has to be Shaloya B'Shusoy, because the Gemara has a machlokes in Bava Kamma, on Daf, where is it? On Daf, Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, I think. A famous machlokes of Yechon Reish Lakish. A person is only a full owner on his property if it's Shaloya B'Shusoy. Let's say, Gozel, someone stole my automobile, and I don't know where in the world the automobile is. So the automobile is Shali, but it's Ainu B'Shusi, because I don't know where it is. So because Ainu B'Shusi, I cannot be Makdish it, I cannot be maknet, and I cannot be matkerit, because I'm not a complete bailam on it. Pashtus is, the Rebbe Chana raises this possibility, Pashtus is, there's an institution of neder. Let's say I have a bigger potato chips. I can take a neder not to eat any potato chips in the world. I can commit myself. I can asra myself. I'm not going to eat any potato chips. I'm not going to eat someone else's potato chips. I can asra my potato chips on you. I don't like you, so I say, My potato chips are muta b'achilat to everybody except for you. There's such a thing. If the potato chips belong to me, I can answer it on someone else. That's the first round in the dorm. The first round of myself is the dorm. There's a neder. I can take a neder on myself. I can answer my property because neder is an isa chepze. I can answer my chepze on someone else. So the Rabbi Chana Wasserman raises the possibility, maybe if my bigger potato chips were stolen, it's Shali, but it's not Bishusi. And maybe the people in the room know who stole it. The Ganef is here in the room, but he doesn't want to identify himself. So that's the question. Can I say, I hereby asa my bigger potato chips on the one who stole them? He's not so careful about Ben Odom Lachavera. He'll steal my potato chips, but he's not going to mess around with Ben Odom Lamokam. If I asa it Bachila, then he's not going to eat it. So the question is, can I aser it b'achila on someone else? Maybe you only consider the full bialim if it's shaloya b'shusa. That's where Rabbi Yechanan has a machlekes with Reish Lakish. Tomorrow there in Bava Kamma, Daf Ayin Ches shows it's a machlekes hatanoim. And the machlekes of Yechanan Reish Lakish was which Tana's opinion to accept. Whether you consider the full bialim if it's shaloya even not saying it b'shusa or no. You're only a full bialim if it's shaloya b'shusa. So the Ramban HaChumash has like that. That in order to violate by Rabbi Matzah, it's not enough that Shaloi has to be Bishusoi. And when it comes Erev Pesach in the afternoon, Chometz Mishay Shos Alamaila on the level of the Raisa, so the Gemara says, the Chometz is Eina Bishusa Shalodom. So there's a big machlikus in the Rishon, Chometz becomes Asabanoah. What do you mean Eina Bishusa? So the Tzoyz learns Kipshuto. Eina Bishusa means that it's Shali. If I, let's say, I by mistake, I cook Basa B'cholov. So the basa b'chalav is asa b'hanoah, real meat and milk. Basa b'chalav is asa b'hanoah, but so just because asa b'hanoah means that it's ain't a shali, no, it's ain't a b'shusi. B'shusi means you have accessibility, you can do whatever you want with it. But if the thing is asa b'hanoah, so you don't have accessibility. You can't do whatever you choose to do because it's isuri hanoah. Just like if your automobile was stolen, so you don't have access to it. So it's shalcho b'ain a b'shuscha. So something is asa b'hanoah, it's also shalcho b'ain a b'shuscha. The Rabbi Shanim will say not so. The Rabbi Shanim will say when the Gemara says Chometz Mishay Shosa Lamaila is Eina B'Shusai, it doesn't mean Eina B'Shusai, it means Eina Shaloi. A lot of Rishanim hold that it's Eina Shaloi literally. There's no bailus at all. And the Tzoyz doesn't like that. He thinks that if the Gemara's Lashon is precise, it's Eina B'Shusai Shaloi, means it is Shaloi, but it's Eina B'Shusai. In order to be considered a full Balaam, you have to have Shaloi Ubir Shusoi. So that's what Rabbi Chana suggests. Just like if something goes of Lenis Yasha Balaam, somebody stole my potato chips. So I can't be Mafke them, and I can't be Magdish them, and I can't be Makna them to anybody else because I'm not a full Balaam. My Bailus is incomplete because I don't have access to it. It's in a Bishusi. So what Dinami, Rabbi Hanan raises a possibility. Pashtus, it should be like that. I can't ask it Beneder on somebody else because I'm not a full Balaam. To be a full Balaam, you have to have Shaloi Bishusa. That's the Nadi Behuda, has a famous tshuva. In the first chelik of Nadi Behuda, he has a tshuva. And then all the Rabbanim disagreed with him. So in the second chelik, Nadi Behuda, Madura Tinyana, he has a few tshuvas where he tries to defend what he said originally. So he has a chiddush that there's a Mishnah in the end of Baba Kama, Gozal Chometz for over all of HaPesach. A Gazlan stole Chometz. A Ganav stole my chalas, and he put it into his own freezer. But over all of our Pesach, say if the Pesach is over, he can return the chametz to me and say, Harei Shalach Lefanech. I can't say, what do you mean? It's also Bahanoah. It's worthless. When you stole it before Pesach, it was Mutah Bahanoah. So I could have eaten it. It was Mutah Bachila, Mutah Bahanoah. It was worth a lot of money at that time. Now you stole it, and the chametz over all our Pesach is also Bahanoah. So the Mishnah says, Pasha B'Shatan Mishnah, despite the fact that it's also Bahanoah, he can still say, Harei Shalach Lefanech. And he doesn't have to pay. So the Nadi Behuda came up with an original interpretation. He can say, Harish Alach Lefanecha, because the Chometz does not become Asa Bahano, because the rightful owner, he stole my Chalas. He stole my Chometz. I didn't violate by Rabbi Matzah because it's Ein Bishusi, because the Ganav stole it. I don't know where it is. And in order to violate by Rabbi Matzah, the Ramban says, you need Shaloi Ubishusi. So this, if it's stolen, it shall leave Ein Bishusi. So the Nignav, the Nigzal is not in violation of Bali Rabbi Motzei, because Zaina Bishus, the Gazlan is not in violation of Bali Rabbi Motzei, because it's Zaina Shaloi. So nobody violated Bali Rabbi Motzei. And we pass Chomisha over all of our Pesach, it's only also with the Rabbanan, it's Machlik, it's Satanoim, Rabbi Yudim, Rabbi Shimon. We saw it, I think, it's on Daf Kof Ches on the base. I think we looked at it already. So Rabbi Yudah's opinion, Chometz, you write on Chav Chesam base, and the Gemara says, my time in the Rabbi Yudah, Tlosik Kroiksiv, there are three psukim that says you're not allowed to eat Chometz, around 10, 13 lines from the top of Chav Chesam base. So Rabbi Yudah says there are three psukim that say you're not allowed to eat Chometz. One goes on Pesach, one goes Chometz of all of our Pesach is an Issa Deraisa, one goes Chometz on our Pesach Eftach Hatzois, not only an Issa Essay, of Tashbisa, there's an Isalav of Kol Machmetzes Lo Sachel. So the Pashtus is that we pass like the Mishnah, Chemtze Shalakum, Sha'ova, all of our Pesach, is Mutabahanoah, Mutabachil and Mutabahanoah. Why? Because we pass like Reb Shimon. Chomin Sha'ova, all of our Pesach, is not Osamanatur. It's a penalty mid the Rabbanan, and the penalty was only introduced if somebody violated by Rabbi Matzeh. So the Nadi Behuda says over here, nobody violated by Rabbi Matzeh. So it's not that the Mishnah is saying Chometz, Gozal Chometz for over all of our Pesach. Not that the Mishnah means, despite the fact that the Chometz became Asa Bahanoah, the Gazlan can return it to the Nigzal and say, Harei Shalach Lefanecha, even though now it's worthless. No, it's not worthless. It's Mutah Bahanoah, because neither the Gazlan nor the Nigzal violated by Rabbi Matzeh. So all the Gdolim disagreed with the Nadi Behuda, and the Tshuvas Tinyana, he tries to stick to his guns, he tries to defend his position. Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah doesn't mean it. Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah means, despite the fact that it did become Asa Bahanoah, he can still say Harei Shalach Lefanech, because you're giving back the Bien, even though the Bien is not worthless. When the Ganav sold it a week before Pesach, it was very valuable, and the Ganav gives it back now after Pesach, it's Asa Bahanoah. Pesach, he can still say Harei Shalach Lefanech. So that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. What the Nadi Behuda said is really not lefi pshuto shal Mishnah.
Rabbi,
yes.
According to the Nadi Behuda, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah emphasizing by saying Harei Shalach Lefanech?
It means that it never became Asa Bahanoah. Exactly that. Chomet Shavala Pesach is only Aser Midrabanan as a penalty, like Reb Shimon. According to Rabbi Yudah, all chametz in the world, even though nobody violated by Rabbi Matzeh at all, chametz becomes Asa Bahanoah, period. So you can't buy it a Goyish story after Pesach. All chametz in the world is Asa Bahanoah. But the Mishnah is saying, like Rabbi Yudah, it's only a penalty for having violated Vayirad vayimatz. And here, when no man violated the isus, it doesn't become masabana. It's a mechudish dika pshat, but the posh pshat in Gemara is not like that. Then we left out, we have to discuss, there is a tesis on Omer Aleph, Hey Omer Aleph, the bottom tesis which we didn't discuss. Rabbi Akiva is proving that pshat in the Chumash, Ach b'yamarishim tashbisu, cannot refer to the first day Pesach, because you can't burn chametz on Pesach. There's an isa malacha. There's only a hetter to do malacha. You're allowed to do malacha when you bring a korban shizmana kavua. Minimum safim when you shecht on Shabbos Yantav. That's a hetter. Or to cook achon nefesh on Yantav. That's a hetter. To cook achon nefesh is mutter. But he doesn't believe, Rabbi Kiva doesn't believe in tzarchayam ksas. He doesn't hold like Beisilo. Lemitoch shuutra havara letzarchutranami letzarchayam ksas. So therefore, he thinks that if the pshat and the pasuk would have been that you should aim berchamis ala b'sreifa, and the pshat would be b'yamarish in the first day of Pesach, you have to destroy the chametz by burning it. It can't be. There's no hetter to burn the chametz on the first day of Pesach. It's an isa malacha, and you have to interpret the pasuk b'yamarish means on erev Pesach. That's what the Gemara says. So Tesis asks, why is it? What kind of a hechrich is that? What kind of a hechrich is that? Maybe it means he's going to burn the chametz on the first day Pesach, and he's going to get hanoah from the chametz after he burns it. After he turns it into ashes, he's going to get hanoah. And Tosfos says, after you've already turned it into ashes, then it is mutter. That's what they quote, Lekamon Chavov Omid Beis. Where is that? Lekamon. Chavav Amud Beis. This is really Chav Zayin Amud Beis. On Chav Zayin Amud Beis, if you take a look, it's about the 15-20 lines from the top. It says on the left-hand margin, it says Temura Daf Lamed Dalet. Gemara quotes a Braisa HaTanya, the very last Daf in Temura. The last Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis and Tmura lists off all the Yisuri Hanoah and tells you which on Yisraf and which on Nigborim, which have to burn and which you have to dispose of, you throw it in the garbage, is Nigborim. So then there's a Braisa and Tmura Lamed Dalet Lamed Aleph for Tanya Kol on Yisraf from Afram Mutar Chutz Me'atze Asherah Be'efa Hegdush Li'or Lamosa. What does it mean Kol on Yisraf and Afram Mutar? So there's a big Machlekes HaRishonim here. So the Rambam both in the Mishnah Torah, when he quotes this, as well as in the Pirush HaMishnah, is there at the end of Temura. He repeats it in both places. It's a surprising Rambam because Tosfos brainwashed all of their readers into believing not like the Rambam. So nobody realizes the Rambam doesn't say the same as Tosfos. The Rambam learns, Kol HaNisraf from Shal Hegdish, Avram Muta. Not means Pigal Noisa Tomei. Pigal Noisa Tomei is supposed to burn it. So even after you burn it and it turns into ashes, call on Israel. After you burnt it, so the ashes would be mutabano, because you did the mitzvah and it's mutabano. Call on Israfim shall hegdish afra muta. But let's say if you have Nisrafim orla in kloy akerem arola also bisrefa. How do you know? So we said the other day, we were talking on the parsha, so it says you should be careful not to let kloy hakerem grow in your vineyard. If you have kloy hakerem, it says pentigda shamalaya zereshetizra tfuas hakerem. That usually, if you allow kilayim to grow, kiloy izraim, two different vegetables are growing near each other, you violated an avera of sotchal. They're two psukim. Sotchal is Yisrikalim and Karmachal is Yisrikalim. So Karmachal is called Kloy HaKerem. They're both only knowing in Eretz Yisrael and HaTorah. It's mitzvahs, hadlayas, bar, agricultural mitzvahs. But there's a difference. If you did Kloy HaKerem, not only did you violate an Averet by letting it grow, it's also Bahanoah, B'dievet. After it grows, it's also Bahanoah and you have to burn it. It's B'srefa. Mashenikan Kloy Yisrael, you're not allowed to let vegetables grow near each other. And if you let it grow, you violate it and aver it, but b'dievet it'll be mutabachil. So the pasuk says, Pentigdas Hamalaya Hazera Shetizra Latuas HaKorem, that if you allowed Kaloi HaKerem to grow in your vineyard, then Pentigdash, so the Gemara Darshans, Pentukaresh, that it's Bisrefa. Sadrasha of the Torah Shabbat Pev. It's Bisrefa. So that's how we establish that Kaloi HaKerem is Min HaNisrafim. But the Mishnah says not only Kaloi HaKerem, the Mishnah says that Orla is also Min HaNisrafim. Orla is if you plant the tree, even in chutzlos, you plant the tree the first 3 years, the peris that, if anything grows, a lot of times nothing will grow the first 3 years. But if anything grows, so the peris that grow the first 3 years are asabachilo asabano. So not only are they asabano, the Mishnah says that the tone sreifa as well, that orla and klarakam are both minhanis rafim. So Rashi and Tosfos both on Temura, Lamed Gimel, and based on that Mishnah, when the Mishnah divides all of these Surah HaNoah into the two categories, the category of Nisrafim and the category of Nigbarim, so Rashi and Tosfos both say, we know the Pasuk that tells us that Kaloi HaKerem is Bisreifa, that's the Pasuk that reads, Pentigdash Hamleya Hazera Shatizra Tikdash is Tukadesh, you burn it, and we don't know what the Mokar is for Orla. It must be the Chachamim must have had some kind of a Hekish or Xerushava connecting Orla with Kaloi HaKerem. Because we see that they have the same din with respect to another halacha. The other halacha is a din, the Rabbanan. But it must be called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there as a Tikkun. The other din is like this, that if any other treif of food gets mixed in with heter, so it's batal b'shishim. And truma, you need meya. Truma, you need meya is only with the Rabbanan. That's a b'feresh gemar at the end of Nida. And orla and klarakam, you need masayim. If it gets mixed in b'mina, you need masayim. So you see that they put together Orla and Kaloi HaKerem on the level of the Rabbanan. So it must be that on the level of the Raisa also, there must be some Pasuk. Rashi and Tosfos say they don't know where the Mokar is. Where is the Pasuk? Must be some Pasuk that indicates that Orla and Kaloi HaKerem are in the same boat together. So once you have the Pasuk Pentigdash, Tukaresh, that Kaloi HaKerem is Bisreifa, that's how you know that Orla is also Bisreifa. So the Rambam's opinion is that this brisa, call on Nisrafim Afra Mutter, he holds that that only applies to Nisrafim Shal Hegdash. He writes it both in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's the end of Temura, as well as in the Mishnah Torah. When he quotes that din, here they don't give you the Tzion, they don't give you the Mokar, but if you look in the Gemara and Temura, they'll give you the Mokar in the Imish, but their mitzvah. The Rambam writes Beferish, call on Nisrafim Shal Hegdash, goes and Pigal Naisatami, it's a mitzvah to burn it. So after it turns into ashes, it's mutter. Tosfos does not agree with that Rambam. Our Tosfos, and Tosfos in a few places has like that. The first line in the Tosfos, Daf Hei Mer Aleph, the bottom Tosfos, the last Tosfos, by us, it's Diba Mascha Ve'Omer. On the side of the Gemara, they say it's a mistake. It should say, Uchsiv, shouldn't be Diba Mascha Ve'Omer, Diba Mascha Ve'Uchsiv, whatever. The Tosfos quotes a Gemara later, Chavov on the base. Tosfos interprets the Gemara to say that Orla Bishla al Gabi, if you bake the bread, when you plant the tree, so the peris that grow the first 3 years are Orla. What about the branches that grow the first 3 years? The branches are not Orla. The branches are Mutabano, just the peris. The peris are Osabano, not the branches. So let's say a person takes peris of Orla, Klipe Orla. Usually you take the klipe, the shells. But if you take the peris of Orla and you make a fire and you bake bread, you oif a pas using the heat. If you don't have a fire, the bread is not going to bake. So you have to have a fire and you bake the bread in the fire. So if the fire was made on the Orla fruits, so there's a machlokes hatanaim later, Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether you prohibit the pas. You say, yesh v'chetzim the pas, arrange vachetz in the pas. Where is that Gemara? That's what Tosfos is quoting. Har Rebbe Har Rabbanan. Yeah, that's on Chavav on the base and Chav Zayin and Al. The Gemara talks about this much like this. But the yesh vachetz in the pas, ain't vachetz in the pas. Yeah. So Tosfos is interpreting this is Tosfos' interpretation. First of all, Tosfos disagrees with the Rambam explicitly at the beginning of the second period in Pesachim. Tosfos holds that Kol HaNitzrafim Afra Mutter doesn't only apply to Pigal Naisa Tomei, it applies to Orla and Kloi HaKerem. And if the din would be like Rav Yehuda, that ain't be a chametz ala b'sreifa. So when you burn the chametz, when you burn the chametz on Erev Pesach, after the Zman Yisur, you did the mitzvah, then the ashes will be mutter, afra mutter. If the din would have been like the chachamim, that ain't that has b'sasa b'chol davar, then it's not been hanisrafim. Then the ashes would be asa. But if the din would be like Rav Yehuda, Tosfos happens to paskin like Rav Yehuda. Tosfos thinks the din is, that's the Tosfos that we had. On Chav Zainam and Beis, Ein Birchamas al Bisweif and Nir Dalochik Rav Yehuda, that's the Ribala Tosfos. He thinks the din should be like Rav Yehuda. Ein Birchamas al Bisweif. So therefore, Afron would be Mutta. According to the Rambam, none of this is correct. Afron is Mutta, it's only Kolan Esrafim Shal Hegdish, only applies to Pikal Naisid Tami. And Tosfos holds it applies even to Orla Klei HaKerem. That's the way they interpret it. That's the first few lines in the Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos, Heim and Aleph. Half agapti kishayi soreif v'yayose gecholem hanosa mutter. They're talking about chametz. So they're assuming that the halacha like Rav Yehuda, that like they wrote later. Tosfos thinks that halacha kistam mishnah, the stam mishnah, the end of Temura, quotes Rav Yehuda's opinion that chametz is bisreifa. And that's what led Tosfos to believe that that should be the halacha. Where was that Tosfos again? We just had it. But Tosfos says that Nirad Alocha Kirav Yehuda, Ein Biyachamis Alav, the Tosfos Chav Zainam Beis, Ein Biyachamis Alav Bisreifim. So Tosfos Lishitosam thinks that Ein Biyachamis Alav Bisreifim, so therefore, Anisraf and Afra Mutter, so the ashes will be Mutter. So they're asking Akasha, they're putting together a lot of assumptions here. They're assuming halachic rebuta, Ein Biyachamis Alav Bisreifim. They're assuming Anisraf and Afra Mutter, not like the Ramam, that it's restricted only to and it's Rafim Shal Hegdish Pigal Nasitame. They hold that it applies even to Orla and Klei HaKerem. How do they know that it applies to Orla? They're interpreting more like that. Bishlag Kiriyama Bepere called Sholaka Mancha Vavim Abeis Bishla Al Gabi Gecholim. The Gemara says if you bake pas, if you bake the loaf of bread Al Gabi Gecholim, Gecholim of what? Gecholim of Orla, Dibri HaKoil, Apas Mutter. Why? So Tosfos learns the reason why. Pashup Shad, the reason why is because Ain Shvachetzim Apas. That's why. So Tosfos doesn't learn like that. Tosfos says the reason why is because Afron Mutter. Afron Avor Lan Klai Kerem is Mutter. What din Chameitz? Because the din is that Ain Bechamitz Alibis Reifa. If the din would have been like the Rabbanan that Hashpasasa B'chol Dover, they wouldn't say who Adin Chometz. But Tosfos Lishitasam is paskin like Rav Yehuda. We don't paskin like that. We're machma like Tosfos to burn the Chometz, because maybe the din is like Rav Yehuda, but Mikra din, we really don't paskin like that. So this whole Tosfos is really a Chiddush. Yeah, what's that discussion in the Gemara where the Yesh Rachetzim it pas? The Gemara has a discussion. Where was that again? On Chavovim and Beis. The Gemara has a machlekes Rebbe and a Chachamim. I baked the loaf of bread off a bayas hapas, and I used logs of Yisuri Hanor. So do you say Yesh Vachetim Hapas? Not only the logs are Yisuri Hanor, are also Banor, but the bread is now also Banor as well. Or do you say Ein Shvachetim Hapas? So what's the issue? Well, what is it? Taruvus over here? What, some of the wood got mixed in? The wood doesn't get mixed in. When you have an oven and you don't have a gas oven, you don't have an electric oven, I guess, so they put logs on the bottom. The logs do not get mixed in with the bread on top. The bread is on the baking tin. So what do you mean? Yeshvach etzim epas. Well, how did the etzim get into the pot? I treated it as if it were a taruvus. What's going on over here? So Tosfos there. Tosfos there has a famous kasha. Take a look above on the base. Tosfos did a maschal chadosh yutas. So the last five lines in that hiksha harav rabbeinu aharon. I don't know who this bala Tosfos is. Harav Baron Aaron. According to Rebbe, who holds that yesh vachetzim epas, the Gemara is going to say we pass like Rebbe. Yesh vachetzim epas. How do you deal with the mishnah hamavashal b'shabbes b'shegigyechal afila b'shabbes? You forgot, you never knew that you're not allowed to bake bread on Shabbos. So the person bakes a loaf of bread on Shabbos. So if one Tana holds, if you're Mavashah B'Shabbos B'Shegig, Vashel b'Shabbos, there's a penalty with the Rabbanon. You're not allowed to eat it. And then there's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, where the konsul shall go to Meizah, the low konsul shall go to Meizah. The Gemara in Perek Hanizokin, in the middle of Perek Hanizokin, is in the middle of Gittin. Yeah, I remember one of the rabbis in Yeshiva pointed out that Perek Get Poshut is in Baba Basra and Perek Hanizokin is in Gittin. One would have thought Hanizokin belongs somewhere in Izikin, and Get Poshut should belong in Gittin, but it's not so. Yeah. So in Perek Hanizokin, there's a big, goes on and on and on. Where the Kansu show go to Meza, lo Kansu show go to Meza. Let's say there's a din. You're not allowed to mix in a little bit of treifus. A woman is cooking a vegetable soup and she pours in a little bit of chaza schmaltz. She knows it's going to be bottled b'shish. She just wants to surprise her family. So she pours in a few drops of treifus. She knows it's going to be bottled b'shish. It's not going to enhance the flavor. You won't be able to taste it. So you're not allowed to do that, even though you know in advance you have well over b'shish. And if you did do it b'mezid, then the penalty, you're not allowed to eat it. What if he mixed it in b'shoigig? He didn't know. He mixed it in b'shoigig. So that's a machlokes hatana, where the konsu shog got to mezid. Or let's say, you're not allowed to marry muberes chaver menekes chaver. A woman was married and she had a baby, and she's nursing the baby. A woman was married, she's pregnant, and her husband died as she got divorced. So she's not allowed to remarry till the baby is born, until the baby is 2 years old. That's muberes chaver menekes chaver. What if a fellow married her? So if he knew that it's awesome and he doesn't care anyway, so we penalize him, he has to get divorced. What if he didn't realize that he's doing anything wrong? Still, you make a penalty with the Rabbanan. He has to get divorced. I think Mark talks about Kontu Shog Got to Mesa. They would penalize him even there. It's a Shaila, a general Shaila. Anateya Bishvius. You're not allowed to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShemitah. The fellow goes and he plants a tree. He didn't know that this year was Shnas HaShemitah. He violated the Shogay. I think Topshin Pei Beis is going to be, that's what they told me. Topshin Pei Beis is going to be, Topshin Pei is in Shana HaChamishas. Topshin Pei Aleph is going to be a Maisa Oni year. This year, Topshin Pei is a Maisa Sheni year. Next year is the 60th. Pei Aleph is a Maisa Oni year. And then Topshin Pei Beis, they told me, is going to be a Shemitah year. So let's say the person plants on Shemitah. The person plants something on Chalamoid. He wasn't allowed to. So there's a penalty with the Rabbanan, and yeah, okay, you have to rip it out. What if he planted b'shogeg? He didn't know that it's an avera. Do you make a penalty konsu shogo to mezid or not? So the Gemara has this big machlekes hatanam across the board in all cases, whether konsu shogo to mezid or lo konsu shogo to mezid. In fact, Tosfos on the first daf in Baba Basra, the Beis Amud Aleph says that we pass on like Rav Meir, danin and dinin de garmi. If you have an order, I'm mazik directly, so the Torah says you have to pay. But if he's mazik al yedei garmi, if he's mazik al yedei groma mazik, and his potter, he doesn't have to pay. But if he's mazik, it's a little bit indirect, but not in ganzen indirect. So that's garmi. So grame. Yeshivas, they mispronounce it, they call it garmi. So Tosfos shita is the garmi, danin and dina garmi. Rav Meir's shita is only a penalty mid the rabbanon. So therefore, Tosfos says garmi b'shegeg would be potter, because lo kosen shok at the meis. So that's what the Mishnah, Tosfos here, and Daf Chavav and Beis, the last five lines, and the Mamas Chachorish, Tosfos quotes the Mishnah, that there's a machlekes hatanaim, Hamabasha b'Shabbos b'Shogeg, he cooked on Shabbos b'Shogeg, so the din is, he's a yochel afilu b'Shogeg, b'Shabbos, he's allowed to eat the food on Shabbos, one time holds, lo konsu shogot the meis, machlekes hatanaim. So Tosfos says the Kasha, but if we pass, come like Rebbe, the Yesh Vachetzim would pass, so the logs on the bottom of the oven, normally you bake with logs in the days of the Gemara. So the logs are muktzah, etzim avon yofa is muktzah. The one that says yesh v'chetzim lepas, why don't you say that the pas that you baked should be, or the food that you cooked, hamavashim b'shabbos, he's cooking food on Shabbos, why don't you say yesh v'chetzim b'tapshil, so the shvach muktzah will be in the food that he cooked and shouldn't be allowed to eat it. So Tosfos comes up with a chiddush, a whopper of an answer. The yesh v'chetzim v'pas, the way Rebbe says, is an indirect way of getting hanor from Misuri hanor. So that's if it's orlo, if the thing that you're burning in the bottom of the oven are peiros of orlo, the peiros of orlo are osa banor. So then, if you eat the food that was cooked, that's an indirect way of getting hanor from the orlo. But muktzah, the logs are muktzah on Shabbos. Muktzah is mutabana. Muktzah is also betilta, but it's mutabana. That's what Tosfos has in Masechet Shabbos, also a few places. So since muktzah is mutabana, so the whole topic of Yesh v'chaytza mepaz doesn't apply. That's Shitas HaTosfos. When you look in the back of the Gemara, they have fantastic cross references here. It's always good to look. They have from Rabbi Shlomo Eger. That's Rabbi Kivega's son. So Rabbi Shlomo Eger refers you over here. He says, look in the Ran on the Rif and Avodah Zarah, and that daf where Tosfos quotes on daf Samach Vav. So he tells you, whenever you look in the Rif, so they always tell you what page it is in the Constantinople edition. Where is it over here? Here. Yeah, looking in the Rif on the side, it says, Dav Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. I'm looking in the Rif, I'm Sochem, on Dav Ches Amid Aleph. I happen to open up. On the side, it says, Dav Kuf Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. Means in the Constantinople edition, when they printed the Rif for the first time. So that's page Kuf Lamed Vav. So Reb Shlomo Eger tells you, look in the Ran on the Rif, on Maseches Avodah Zarah, on that Daf, on the Daf that Jesus tells you to look at. Tosfos says it's an Avodah Zarah daf Samach Vav. So that daf, the Ran disagrees with Tosfos. The Ran holds that's not the correct answer. The Ran says Yesh v'chaytza mepas. We'll have to continue tomorrow. Yesh v'chaytza mepas is only a topic by afia, when you're baking bread. By bishul it doesn't apply at all. So the Mishnah in Trumas, the Tosfos quote Hamavashim B'Shabbos is talking about cooking, not talking about baking bread. So the whole topic doesn't apply. So this is a fundamental machlok, is what is this all about, Yesh v'chaytza mepas. So tomorrow we'll have to continue on the topic in order to understand what Tosfos is talking about. This Tosfos on Hey Amid Aleph, the last Tosfos, the first few lines, they're bringing a raya from this Gemara. What did the Gemara say? How does anybody else read the Gemara? How did Tosfos read the Gemara? So tomorrow we'll have to continue. I think this Friday morning I'll give a shiur on the Parsha, whoever is interested, at 10:30 in the morning. We'll do Nitzav Mayach. So tomorrow we'll continue by learning Psach. Have a nice day, everybody.